आज मेरे यार की शादी है, आज मेरे यार की शादी है.
They block the streets in India.
Welcome to the Invisible India podcast. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Abhishek. We are a cross-cultural couple doing life in India, exploring the lesser-known mysteries of Indian culture,
interviewing fascinating figures who have chartered new territories, and sharing life as we raise our multicultural family amongst the complexities of modern Indian life.
Hi, welcome to the Invisible India podcast.
Today's topic, we are going to be talking about 10 unique things about Indian weddings. Why do we pick 10?
Because why?
It's our 10-year anniversary this year.
That's right. That's why we're here.
So we're going to name 10 things that are unique about Indian weddings. This doesn't mean that these are all the unique things about Indian weddings. It doesn't mean that this is inclusive of every people group, every tradition that's ever taken place in an Indian wedding. There's a lot that we're going to miss, but these are 10 things that for us stand out that we think people need to hear about that are just totally unique about.
Probably Indian mostly weddings. Applies to North Indian weddings, probably mostly. But India is a very diverse country, so we don't know where it applies. I don't feel offended if it doesn't apply to your culture or your... But this is a generic North Indian culture that we're going to refer to. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, number one, awesome, unique thing about Indian weddings, the formalities. What kind of formalities? What are some interesting formalities?
It starts with an invitation card, wedding card. So the wedding card is like looks festive. It is not a simple just invitation, but it has like Sanskrit mantras. It may have a pratima of one of the gods, goddesses. And it is sort of very, what do you call it?
Looking elaborate.
Elaborate.
Festive.
Festive.
It looks glittery. Like a menu from a restaurant. Yeah. Sometimes you get this like box.
Right.
And you know, you open it and there's just...
It's getting fancier and fancier over the years.
Yeah. And it has to be hand-delivered for most people. It's like nowadays it's hard if people live everywhere. But if you live anywhere within a couple of hours radius, it's the proper thing for someone from the family to go and actually hand-deliver the card to you as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big formality. I mean, we're not even going to talk about all the formalities that go into arranging a marriage. Or
mostly done by not bride and groom, but their parents or other family members.
The formalities. So number two, awesome, unique thing about Indian weddings, the clothes, the wear, the design, the dress, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a very diverse kind of topic we could talk about. There's so many different designs depending on your religious background or your people group or even your like socioeconomic status. But we all know that you look at an Indian wedding, a photo of a wedding, and you can tell that it's an Indian wedding by looking at the photos.
Right.
By the clothes. It's very unique. The lehenga, the sari, the sherwani for the men or for kurta pajama for some weddings in South India, you wear dhoti.
And you wear shirtless.
Yeah, and some people wear Western clothes too. Totally right. Suit.
Men wear Western clothes, suit and tie and all of that. Or you mix it up.
Yeah, and some Indian, and nowadays, you know, it depends on the background of the bride and groom, but you can wear a gown, like a bridal gown. But for a lot of Indian weddings, we know, you know, the elaborate, gorgeous dresses that can cost, you know, lakhs and lakhs of rupees. It's like hundreds of thousands of rupees and putting a lot of effort into your look, the jewelry, the clothes for a bride is like, people spend years thinking about this.
Right.
Anything to add on that?
No. I think some of the other things might be just similar to the Western wedding, like beauty salons and people go to salons and men also go to like a hair place to get their hair done and all that before the wedding. And
Number three, mehendi or henna. a bride's mehendi or henna is very unique to Indian weddings, although they have different kinds of henna in the Middle East and even in parts of Northern Africa and probably so many other places that we can't even mention. But in almost all Indian weddings across religions, people do the tradition of mehendi. And if you hire someone professional, I mean, this can take hours. You know, it can cover most of your hands, and you usually put on your feet as well. And even in some weddings, men do it too. So it's just a beautification process of the bride. You're supposed to really be able to tell who the bride is by her.
Right. And a few days earlier, there's a turmeric ritual where men and women have like turmeric put on their skin. Not sure why, maybe for beautification, for antiseptic purposes, I'm not sure. So, yeah.
Next one, unique to Indian weddings, is the barat.
So what is a barat?
A barat is when the groom's near, dear friends and family accompany him right before the wedding, the marriage is going to take place. So a lot of times this will be with a band or with music. And in traditional settings, the groom would ride on a white horse. So in our wedding, we used my dad's white Spitfire, 1971 Spitfire, I believe. And it was white. And so Abhishek rode in that, and then friends and family, you know, danced down the road with the groom to kind of like announce the coming of the groom. And that's right before you enter into the place where the wedding, the marriage is going to be taking place.
Mm-hmm. And the right pronunciation for that word is barat. So yeah, barat. That's barat.
Bara'a. Do bara'a. Barat.
Barat.
So next is, with the barat, is dancing. Most Indian weddings, many Indian weddings, again, it depends on your background and your family background, but dancing is an important part of a lot of Indian weddings. And this includes everyone. One of the things that struck me when I first moved to India, when I first started attending events, was how people could be really bad dancers, but still not care.
Yeah.
Old people, young people, really, you know, like, I don't know, at least in like white American culture, if you're a really bad dancer, you typically don't dance. It's too embarrassing. Or if you have certain body types with which people often like shame as, you know, not attractive, then like you don't want to like go out there and dance because people will make fun of you. But like in Indian weddings, it doesn't matter. Everybody dances, old, young.
Yeah. You know, is expressing joy and delight rather than anything else.
And it's not for entertainment for other people. It's
right.
Like expressing your own happiness.
Right. It is not for entertainment purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. For Bharat especially. Now, yeah, there are weddings in Indian weddings that employ people into like artists. My cousin's wedding.
That's right.
There were Irish dancers, and there was a Bhangra group.
They had a belly dancer too, right?
They had a belly dancer, which was a little bit later on. We were like, oh, okay. But yeah, like our friend also plays for different weddings in Toronto. If you're in Toronto area, our friend who is a very accomplished sitar player, he plays at weddings as well. So if you want to know about them, you know, let us know. So,
put in the comments.
Comments, yeah.
Next one, which is probably the biggest and most unique thing about Indian weddings, is the amount of family involvement that goes in to planning and participating in a wedding.
Hmm. Family involvement. Yeah, it's mostly family involvement. Maybe in the West it is a lot more groom or bride have some say into it. But more in India and more rural you go,
mm-hmm.
less say bride and groom have anything to do with the wedding. Like basically they just show up and everything is done for them. And
yeah.
They don't really have a lot of preferences of doing this or that. So generally that's what is probably true. So
right. That's true. That's a good point. And, you know, like we said, there's so much diversity. I mean, Indian culture is not one thing. There are like so many cultures within India. So this is going to look different everywhere. But this is just to enjoy and mention a few things that we've noticed. Extravagance is another one. So I think you'll notice that per someone's income or per someone's ability to spend, that they kind of go to the top with that. They go to like the maximum. It's a very like maximalistic culture in weddings.
Did you guys hear about what happened at the wedding in Mumbai? Was that in Mumbai?
What wedding in Mumbai?
The Reliance people's weddings.
Ambani's?
Ambani's weddings. People were flown in from America, celebrities.
Beyonce performed at their wedding.
Yeah. He's like the 10 most richest people in the world.
10 most richest people in the world.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's one example. And again, and it doesn't matter. I mean, even if you're a poor person or someone who doesn't have a lot, you still spend a ton of money on wedding.
Yeah.
So I think
if that doesn't include dowry. I mean, I think dowry can drive the total cost up, which is illegal to do in India, but it happens all the time. So
that's right. Next one, tradition.
Tradition.
Indians are known for their traditions.
So what about traditions when it comes to weddings? The elaborate traditions? You mean the stuff that happens at the event? Is that what you mean?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I think so. I mean, there's surrounding everything about weddings. There's traditions for every single thing.
It's a multi-day affair, generally. Yeah. Traditions get in there. And then the actual service itself is like, could be all night long or all day long or half day long. So yeah, the traditions are important. And in all the sanskars, we call them sanskar ceremonies of life, there's elaborate tradition or rituals involved. And that's what makes it serious and gives it meaning and gives it sort of a seal of new things starting. It is an initiation into a new phase of life. May that be death, may that be, you know, birth, may that be marriage, or yeah. So that's what I gather.
Do you think that there's romance in Indian weddings?
Romance in Indian weddings, like at the event?
How do you think that's incorporated?
In India, if it's an arranged marriage, arranged wedding, I think things are changing slight bit. But generally, traditionally, girl is supposed to have a very serious face, you know, not smiling, not laughing. You're not supposed to show a lot of happiness or joy.
You're leaving your family forever.
You're leaving your family, like, especially for the girl. It's very much like one-sided type of thing. The guy's family can empathize with that generally, like, oh yeah, poor girl, she's coming with us now, that kind of thing. But it is supposed to be like tradition, even some might call that tradition, of girl not being too happy or joyful or excited at her
somber
own wedding. Somber, serious. Yeah. So there's that. But in America, it's different what I noticed, because girl and boy generally know each other from before, have had a dating relationship, and parents also are used to seeing boys and girls together and interacting. So I think it's a little bit different. So I don't expect it to be, they usually know like kissing in the ceremony, like you'll kiss now, you can kiss the bride. That would totally undo a Hindu wedding.
So, Hindu wedding, Muslim wedding. In Muslim weddings, a lot of times the bride and groom are not even in the same room. It's like kabul hai, kabul hai, you know.
Jewish weddings also like that. Maybe
but I have seen like in Hindu wedding and Christian wedding, it's like the only time that a bride and groom are really supposed to like touch each other in public is at their wedding. It's like, okay, hold the hands, and then they're holding hands, getting their picture taken. And so there's like a little sprinkle of romance in there, like, you know, oh, look at how cute they are. Or like they hold hands and get their picture very stiffly. So that happens. I think that's sprinkled in there a little bit.
Yeah. And now it's changing with the times. Now they do a lot of photo sessions. Like photographers are doing photo sessions in urban weddings where they might look a lot more romantic. And
looking
that.
At so, each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that.
So. Yeah.
But it's changing very slowly still. So.
The last one, which is something very unique and special in Indian weddings, is the proper goodbye. The bride to her family. Vidai. Tell us about it.
No, generally in our regions, it happens in the morning time or in the middle of the night when the ceremonies have taken place and the multiple gift givings and all of that, and giving food and gifts and all kinds of things in baskets, and people will give it, and you will load your car with those things. And it's just not just like bride and groom, it's groom's family.
Family involvement.
I mean, you're basically taking the bride to your own house. You're not going to a honeymoon or a hotel or anything generally. You're going to Sasural, basically. You're going to your in-law's house. So basically that's what happened generally. You get in a car, generally always Vidai is in a car because it's not in a horse. You come on a Bharat on a horse.
The old day on the Palki, they used to have to...
Yeah, basically they release the band that day itself. That after the Bharat arrived, the band is gone. It's like a band, these things, Bharat band. I don't know if many of you have seen that, but it is something, an Indian thing. In America, what I've seen, or in Canada, what I've seen is a Punjabi dole is what they're used in Bharat. And if you want to contact people, there are people in Chicago, New York, and Toronto, everywhere.
Major city.
There are dole players. You call them, and they will just accompany you in the Bharat. But yeah, but there are like these dedicated Bharat. There's a dedicated Bharat band businesses in India that accompany you, and they can be very elaborate and very cheesy and very, I don't know, very tacky sometimes. But they are very festive too. They block the streets in India. There are no protocols, city protocols generally follow. They're just blocking.
Gajirare, gajirare, gajirare. And it's like really, 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 really loud, and like blaring. You can hear it for kilometers and kilometers. Like one good thing about COVID-19, it's not a good thing actually, but is that we're all sleeping very peacefully because there are no weddings happening.
Right.
By our house, there are three wedding halls.
Yeah.
Just tick, tick, tick right next to every night.
And then we say months, only because. I mean, there's supposed to be laws against loud noises, but they're not followed in India, at least in our parts of India. So, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So this is just a few things that we wanted to highlight that we enjoy and think are really unique about Indian weddings in general. Leave your comments for us. We would love to hear from you about some things that you enjoy. If you're Indian, if you're just someone who appreciates Indian culture from an outside perspective, comment, let us know what you think. You can also write to us. You can write to me, Jessica at invisibleindiapodcast.com. Make sure and check out our new shiny website, invisibleindiapodcast.com. You can contact us. You can see pictures and more information of us, links to all of our social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We were on TikTok until India banned that, so that you can watch our TikToks, but we're not making any new TikToks right now. Reach out to us. Of course, you can subscribe to our podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google, GeoSovlin, anywhere podcasts are found, you can find us.
Yeah. Let us know what your experiences have been with weddings, Indian weddings. Share with us whatever you want.
Yeah.
All right.
Check out our social media. Actually, we're going to be sharing pictures from our wedding 10 years ago from 2010 and how we incorporated some of these unique things into our cross-cultural marriage. So, Tegan. Namaste. Thank you, sabko. Sunne ke liye, appreciate it.
Bye.
The music for the Invisible India podcast is performed by Christopher Halen Sitar and Ed Henley on tabla on Rag Bhimpalasi.